Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. I entitled tonight, What Will Be Your Monument? Prophet or Prophet, in other words, a play on words with a prophet being a Navi or a prophet making money. And it's very interesting because we have in this parasha some very interesting things. Of course, we have the Tochacha, which is the lion's share of the parasha, very long aliyah. But the parasha begins with Bikurim. But last week's parasha ended with Parashas Kisetze about Zochores Asher Osolecho Amolek Baderech Mitzvayischem Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amolek, and don't forget. And now why we begin the next parasha, the smichos of the parashas, there's always a reason why one parasha flows into the next. Things are not helter-skelter. Moshe Rabbeinu, he learned his lessons well from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will put everything in succinct order. And what I mean by that is as follows. For 40 years, the Bnei Yisrael were wandering in the Midbar due to their own missteps, as we'll call them, and they tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu for their misdeeds. They had to wander 40 years in the Midbar. But one thing was particularly very obvious to anybody who was in that party, who was part of Klal Yisrael. They subsisted on the man, they subsisted on the water from a rock. They had all of these things that they had. They had all the wars that they had in the beginning with Amalek and various other things that they had in the past year. They've been through various battles and various tragedies. And it's very obvious to them that the only reason they survived was through the hand of God. They could not have survived in a desert. I know when a paratrooper goes to get his wings, or a pilot, part of the test is to be dropped over the Sinai Peninsula. Of course, I don't know if they still do it today because it's in the Egyptian hands, but basically they would drop you, perhaps it still is, I don't know, but they would drop you into the Sinai Peninsula and they would you had to make your way out on your own because there was no way you could survive more than a certain amount of time living in the Midbar. And here they were 40 years in the Midbar, and they survived and they thrived. And it's very interesting when we think about it that way. And that was the end of it. Vayoki Savoa Laris, as the parasha begins, I know all of those things that you experienced. You understand they were all miracles. And now, because of when I promised the Avos that I would take you out of Mitzrayim and bring you into the land of Eretz Yisrael, my job is complete. And now that you've conquered or you're about to conquer the land, and once you do, you will be resting in your own homes, v'inachto, you will be living comfortably in your own home, you will plant, or you inherited homes with field that is ready to harvest, and you're sitting on your chair, ish tachas te'ino, tachas gafno, and you're very satisfied with yourself, and that's when these tests start to come, and you begin to think, I deserve it. You begin to think that some of this is down to me. And God says, the only way we could avoid that trap, the falling into that trap that we have a lot of times of thinking that we're in control, if we make the right decisions in life, things will go according to plan. And therefore, God says, I want you every year to bring the first fruits. It's a minuscule amount of fruit, but you put a tag on that first fruit to remember that every little thing that you have, even the minutest amount of fruit that you're bringing, the Bikurim, the first, bring it to God and show your thanks. V'yoniso v'yamartol l'fnei Hashem Elokecha. You have to answer. By the way, we have three parashas in a row where we have at the end of Shoftim, when he had V'yanu, V'yamru, Yodeinu lo shafku es adam hazeh, when we had at the end of Parashat Kisetze, V'yantzav, V'yamra, Kocho ye'yaseh lo'ish, asher lo yivneh es beis achiv, and another phrase that we have in this parasha, that you answer again, the double lashon, V'yaniso v'yamartol l'fnei Hashem Elokecha, Arami oved avi, and all of these things, whenever it uses that kind of language, a double language, with the same parts of speech, it means that whatever you utter has to be said in Hebrew. You have to use the text. The Gemara mentions that, and that's one of the things that we learn. But that's a side issue, just as a matter, we've had it now three parshas in a row. But we have to thank God for every little thing that we have. And I know the tendency is to forget once you get into the land. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to pass on to you at this point is, I know that if you do this, you will not fall into the trap. And that's why I tell you now, what is the Tochacha? We said in Parashas Re'eh that the brachas were on Har Grizim and the klolos were on Har Eval. What does that actually mean? Did they choose Shimon Levi v'Yehuda, Yosef v'Binyamin? You have those six tribes of Yisachar, Yosef v'Binyamin, six tribes on one mountain and six on the other. Why were they given these things as a nevuah? What is the tochacha, the brachas and the klolos? And of course, the Chazal tell us that the reality was that they put the mizbeach was uvanisu shem mizbeach, and that they had to bring a carbon to placate, to mollify the people that were on Har Eval, to that was they brought the carbonus, because they begin to think that, you know, why should we be chosen? Why these six tribes were chosen to be on Har Eval? Some of them are patently obvious. Reuven, Gad, because here they are. Reuven, Gad, Yosher, Don, Yosef, Don, Naphtali, Uzvulun, Don, Naphtali. The only one that I find very interesting in terms of the separation of the Shvatim is, again, a warning over here. We know that Yisachar and Zvulun were very interested. They lived together. They were close, and obviously they were two brothers who were very close with each other. Zvulun always supported Yisachar. But, and now it's very strange. You would think that they would be together whichever mountain they would be on, but God wouldn't separate Yisachar and Zvulun. But that in itself is a message as well. Yisachar was the one who sat and learned, and Zvulun was the Shevet who supported them, and therefore he gets the mitzvah of supporting. He gets the schar for Yisachar's learning as well, because he's supporting him. But that in itself is a lesson, because Yisachar, he's building a monument of Torah. But Zvulun, lest you forget and you start to use the money for yourself and don't continue to support Zvulun, you lose that bracha, and your profit of all your money is as opposed to, is anti the prophecy of what is told, that to be on this mountain and this mountain. But it's interesting in one fact that there's an attitude problem over here. It says that the Levium stood in the middle of the mountain, but we said Shimon v'Levi, the Levium were also on the mountain on Har Gerizim. So who was the one that was doing calling out the brachas and the klolos? Well, initially, the one that set this up, of course, was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And the reason he had to do this himself and explain it, because the truth of the matter is, if somebody would walk over to, imagine if somebody walked over to you and said, you know, I'd like to point out to you all your deficiencies, and your attitude would probably be, who are you to tell me where my problems are? Who are you? You're just another one of the brothers. Why should you be the one to tell me what I'm doing wrong? Because the truth of the matter is, you're maybe no better than I am. How do you know that you don't have some deficiencies as well? And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu can get away with this because he's the one person who's certainly beyond reproach that everyone would respect. But the difference is Reuven and Gad, of course, we could see because they were the ones who decided to stay Aver HaYarden, Asher, part of the Shevet of Asher also. So these were some of the reasons that some of these tribes were separated and they were warnings. And then we come to the Tochacha. And the problem with the Tochacha is we talk about so many things we've mentioned before, that these were forecasts of what will take place in the future. But the reality is, were these forecasts, were these nevuah, or were these warnings? And what these klolos are, the brachos and the klolos, are giving us a formula for success. Not to say that these are things that will befall you, as we say. I remember when 9/11 took place, and they pointed out, because it was the week of this parsha, Kisavo, and it said, Adredes chomosecha hagvos v'hapsuros, and it was a very fitting pasuk for that week that it took place, and we think about it in those terms, but the fact is that these are only things that take place should we not fulfill the warnings. And all of these things, if we follow the Torah, then the warnings that we have will turn into brachos. And if we don't follow, as we mentioned before when we were talking about Parshas Re'eh, Judaism is you have to take sides. You're either on Har Eivol or you're on Har Gerizim. The valley is only for the speeches, so to speak, not how do you live your life. And what do we do in the end result of this is they had to take these huge boulders out of the Yarden. Imagine, why couldn't we just take big boulders outside of the Yarden? Perhaps we could have been easier to drag it outside the Yarden. Imagine how much work it would have to be. And and do it immediately. It's a very strange situation. But why do we have to take those stones from the Yarden? Is that they're always there to remind us of the miracle that the Yarden split. How else would you get these stones from the Yarden if you wouldn't remember? You would pass by and look at these stones and say, oh, look at that. Imagine this had to be, you couldn't get these stones out of the river if it hadn't split. And therefore, this is part and parcel, this is proof that the Yarden split for Bnei Yisrael when they crossed it, and this would be a reminder forever and ever. And our monument to our lives as Jews is V'chosavtu Aleihem Es Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazot. When the Romans conquered their various countries throughout their history before the fall of the Roman Empire in 475, when it was totally destroyed, the fall of the Roman Empire by the Visigoths and then the Arab culture. But the fact remains, at that point in time, you have the Arch of Titus. Their monuments for other nations are always arches that say on it all their great triumphs. Bnei Yisrael is V'chosavtu Aleihem. Our monument is the Torah. V'chosavtu Aleihem Es Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazot. Our monument is all the mitzvot that we do. We don't put down our personal accomplishment. Our banner consists of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah and the 613 mitzvot. This is what we live through. And that's why I say, what is your monument that you will build? Rosh Hashanah is coming, and are we building a monument of Torah, or are we building a monument of profit? Are we making large estates for ourselves, or are we building a makom of Torah? Is our house a place where there's learning done? Of course, those who listen to Shiurim regularly, of course, are making that statement that to them, sitting and learning is the apex of their life's work. And the monument, those who sit and learn, are their monument is V'chosavtu Aleihem, is the monument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And these are the things that we have. So this is what we wanted to say. So the ceremony of Bikurim is that we begin the parsha with is very necessary and very important. And that is saying that we trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We recognize the fact that all the miracles that took place in the Yarden, and of course the liturgy that we say, Arami Oved Ovi, it is a custom that every time we remember all the miracles, we remember a miracle that happened to us, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the munificence of our wonderful crops that we brought in, and we're bringing him the first fruit. We mention all the other things, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Arami Oved Ovi, the story of Lavan, and various other things. We remind ourselves of all the great miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us when we left Mitzrayim throughout history, that he did it. It's the time for remembering all these things. And that's why we do it now, that when we're sitting back in our easy chair, it's time to reflect on Hashem and understand that it's not Kochi V'Yotze Miyodi. And when we say all these things, it comes after Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, because they were what was Amalek's mantle. Their motto was Asher Karcho Badera, that God doesn't necessarily exist. There are things happen by chance. That was Haman's legacy. Eishpal Asher Karohu. Haman was the same thing. He was the descendant of Amalek. His attitude was things just happen sometimes. What we say is the Anisha of Yamasa, Rami Oved Ovi, Vayesh, Mitzrayim,
nothing happens to them. We are under the guidance, we are under the protection of the Baruch Hu.
The brachas will come if we follow the rules. Baruch atah b'vavecha, Baruch atah b'tzeitzecha. But if we don't follow the rules, we have unfortunate things. Not that these things will happen, but that they might, should we not. May this year bring a lot of prosperity and hatzlacha to all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you.
Have a good evening. Good night.